You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a destination. We are finally here.
Let's go.
What is good? Welcome back to another episode of Destination Dynasty. I am your gracious host, Scott Connor. You can find me on X at CharlesChillFFB. All my work over at destinationdevi.com or patreon.com/allgas. Join the Destination 5 tier or the Trades in 5 or Heisman tier on the Patreon and get access to the bonus content that we record and put out on a private podcast feed for everybody inside of the Discord. And speaking of the Discord, if you're over there, you will get first dibs on the new series that Ray and I are recording all about the War Tool. So if you haven't signed up for the website and you want access to the War Tool, that is what I'm going to be talking about tonight in conjunction with last week's episode where I talked about draft pick war. So for this show, I'm going to be using the War Tool so you can follow along and you can go through exactly what I am doing while on this show to try to implement some of the takeaways that I had from last week's show talking about draft pick war. We had some long discussions following the pod last week inside the Discord and talking through the interpretation of some of this data and how to use it. So that's what this week's episode is going to be about. I do want to remind everybody of a couple announcements. The Destination Devi crew will be doing a draft stream. It will be the best NFL draft stream, bar none, that is out there in the fantasy community. It'll be live all 3 days of the NFL draft, starting on Thursday night on the Destination Devi YouTube feed. Make sure you're there. If you are not signed up for Underdog, friends, family, significant others, coworkers, anybody that's not signed up, make sure they sign up using the promo code DDD, Destination Devi Draft, abbreviated as DDD. You will not only sign up for Underdog and play everything that Underdog has to offer for the summer, and more to come on that here shortly, but you will also be registered to win all of the prizes that we are sharing this week and next week. You'll see them on Twitter, signed jerseys, autographed cards, but there's more that we're not even talking about there. Roster reviews, Heisman tier memberships. With the Heisman tier membership, you are getting almost a $400 value item. You get a year-long membership to the Heisman Discord, which is bar none the best place to get all access. So make sure if you are not signed up for Underdog, or anybody that you know is not signed up for Underdog, use the promo code DDD, register, do a deposit, and you'll be signed up to win all the items that we will be giving away on the Destination Devi draft stream, which is coming up here for the 3 days of the NFL draft. And speaking of that, there is going to be more coming on Underdog. Anybody that is tuned into my show that is weekly on the YouTube feed, Dynasty Portfolio Weekly, it won't be going away, but it'll be taking a short hiatus. It will now be changing over to Underdog Portfolio Weekly. So it will be an Underdog show that will be launching once a week, and it'll be solely focused on managing an Underdog portfolio. And that will last throughout the summer, all the way until the start of the season. But I don't want the Dynasty players, especially the Dynasty Portfolio players, to tune out or to not give that show a chance, because I am going to be taking everything that I have learned and implemented that has really helped form my dynasty strategy. Everyone knows I'm a portfolio player. That's generally how I'm viewing the dynasty game in terms of just making plus EV bets, picking sides, and going in a correlative direction. I'm going to be talking about that on Underdog. And I will be building a legitimate Underdog portfolio and talking about it every single week on Underdog Portfolio Weekly. So that will be starting probably in the next month or so. Usually Best Ball Mania 5 launches sometime right after the NFL draft. And that is when I will be heating up with Underdog Portfolio Weekly. I may do an episode before that just to kind of talk through, you know, some of my strategies or what I'm planning to do. But if you're interested in that, or you're interested in just general portfolio theory and portfolio management, even if you're a dynasty player, I encourage everybody to tune into that. And then Dynasty Portfolio Weekly will come back during the season when Underdog starts to die down. But just wanted to let everybody know that that will be a short-term change in the schedule coming up on the YouTube feed. But if you could, check it out, like, subscribe the channel, give us as much support as you can. And with that, we're going to move into today's topic, which is going to be a follow-up to last week's show. And if you did not listen to last week's show, I would suggest that you pause this, download last week's show, and listen to that before this episode, because I'm going to be referencing that data, which will be shared with everybody in the Discord regarding draft pick war. I went through for the last five classes where I could get 2 years worth of data on. So starting in 2018 through 2022, where I can get 2 years worth of war data on the rookies from those classes. And I basically took the top 36 from each class looking backwards. So I looked backwards at the top 36 in each one of those classes from 2018 to 2022 and looked at the war impact of each one of those classes. So I have 5 years worth of data and essentially ordered them 1 through 36, which represents the 101 through the 312. And then I took the aggregate of the five classes and essentially came up with a relative draft pick war calculation, both total war and war per game. And just to remind everybody, war, as we're referencing, is true war. You have to remember that war is only realized if a player is in your lineup. And if it's not in your lineup, then you're not realizing that war. Now, obviously, for lineup leagues and best ball leagues, which I'm going to talk about both today, that does matter. In lineup leagues, you're okay with zero war or negative war because it's not in your lineup. Now, if it's in your lineup and a player scores negative war because they don't score any points, that hurts you. If a player is literally a replacement level player and they're at zero for the week, doesn't necessarily hurt you, but it's only an opportunity cost lost in terms of what you could have had in place of that player. And almost always in best ball, you are going to have the war that's actually realized is going to go into your lineup automatically based on the fact that it's best ball. There are times where, you know, there is lost war on your roster in best ball because maybe you have too many receivers that are positive war, but not all of them can fit into your flexes, and therefore some of them make your bench. But ultimately, most war that is unrealized is going to be in a lineup league where you did not put that player on your bench, and vice versa, most negative war that's realized is going to be when you start a player and maybe they get injured. Unfortunately, players get injured. They get injured early on in games and they give you 1 point. That's going to be negative war. And in a lineup league, it's going to hurt you even more because you are actually realizing that negative war. So I just want to remember that when doing the exercise and remind everybody that sometimes I even get lost on looking at those war graphs, seeing a player for a season that goes negative, but then realizing that most of our leagues, regardless of whether it's best ball or lineup, are played on a week-to-week basis. Now, how the points are scored week-to-week, whether that's best ball or whether it's actually via setting a lineup, is secondary to the argument about negative war isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be a good thing if essentially you're looking at a player as, yeah, that running back or that tight end or that quarterback especially is only usable for 2 weeks. And those are the 2 weeks where they gave me above zero war. But those are the 2 weeks where they actually were in my lineup. Or those were the 2 weeks where I picked them up off waivers as a backup quarterback in best ball. They didn't hurt me. Their total war is going to look negative. But actually what I realized is positive. So it's important, the very first thing when you look at these graphs, if you go to destinationdevy.com, sign up for the War Machine, sign up for the Destination 5 tier, will give you access to everything. But if you sign up just for even the tools and you run the war in your league, you will get thrown off sometimes by seeing it go negative. And that's when you look at the season-long snapshot and you see these graphs and you go, oh, negative equals bad. Not necessarily. Now, obviously, you would rather have positive war over a long period of time, but negative doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means you have to think about how you're going to roster construct. So just keep that in mind. When I'm saying the negative expectation on a pick is because the war is below zero, that should just be a word to the wise of, okay, I should be thinking deeper as to what I can do with those picks. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to go through four different formats that I play in, and I'm going to try to find something on my roster construction where I think I can exploit this war data that I looked at last week for rookie picks. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to run each one of these so you can follow along on the War Machine, and I'll describe what I'm actually doing. And hopefully, even though I'm going to be going through my teams, and I'm not going to read off everybody on the roster, but I'm going to be going through my teams and highlighting a move that I can make using this data and explain why I'm trying to make it on those individual teams. And it'll probably come down to, what are we all trying to do right now in Dynasty? Between now and the draft, we're trying to act on information that has changed since free agency, or we're trying to probably act on information that we think can be exploited based on the rookie picks before we start putting real landing spots with real names into those picks. And that's it. That's probably what most people are trying to do. I doubt that there has been a lot that has changed in your given league between now and what was going on in January in terms of moving veteran players for next year, or moving players that really have had zero impact from free agency yet, any more reason to move them today than there would have been 2 weeks ago. So I would bet that most people are surrounding their trade offers or thoughts on what to do based on either things that have happened in free agency or things that could happen with the draft picks. So trying to move around the board for this specific reason or another. So I'll talk about that, and I'm going to go through four distinct formats today that I think will hit home a point for all four different formats. So I'm going to use the same war data that, again, if you want access to the war data, join the Discord. I'll post it in there for everybody to access. But outside of that, you're going to learn something, hopefully, from each one of these. I'm going to pick four distinct formats where there's going to be different values for different reasons on both the draft picks, but also on the players and also roster spots. You know, some of these are going to be shallower than others. Some of these are going to be deeper than others, where there's the ability to stash more players. So what does that mean in terms of how I want to use my draft picks? So I'll go through four different leagues. This is going to kind of be killing two birds with one stone, because these are things that I want to be doing every week anyway. And for this week, I decided just to do it along with all the listeners on the pod and tie it into the war data that I used from last week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So with that, we'll go ahead and jump into the first format. And for this first league, you can access this running my name on Sleeper, Charles Chill FFB, and selecting the league Fanatics Fantasy League. So it's a league that I've been in. This is the, I believe, sixth year of Fanatics Fantasy League. So it's a league that's been established, recently have moved over to Sleeper, but it is a 12-team start 10 lineup league. and it is not as deep as some of the other lineup leagues that I'm in. Right now, the rosters are expanded to 29-man rosters. And when we get to the season, you have to cut down to 25. So it's a pretty vanilla 12-team, start 10, 25-man rosters. And the four extra roster spots that are expanded right now for the four rounds of the rookie draft convert to taxi spots. So essentially, it'll be a four-man taxi that will be rookies only. So effectively, it is 29 roster spots. But a couple unique things about this league. So it is a point per carry league. So everything else is pretty standard. 12 teams, start 10, 29-man rosters. It's a four-point per passing touchdown league. It's negative two for interceptions. So it's really like a standard sleeper league, except for the fact that the 0.25 point per carry bonus for running backs, there are a couple bonuses when it comes to big plays, like a big play bonus over 40 yards, you get extra 2 points. It's really not a big add for the scoring in this format. But the other thing is it is a 1.5 tight end premium bonus. So it doesn't matter a ton in terms of looking at the war for the tight ends. So really it's the running back premium with the 0.25 point per carry, which makes this league pretty challenging in terms of how to value the receivers versus the running backs. It's also a league where you only have to start two receivers. And just a little background, I'm not going to go through my entire roster, but essentially I was a team that has punted for the last year. I have been able to secure two of the top four picks this year. Now the point per carry also extends to quarterbacks. So if you think about the point per carry format for quarterbacks here, which ones you may value a little bit more. But here's the thing. So right now I have five extra roster spots. I am currently sitting on a total of 10 draft picks this year. I've made a couple trades. So I have a team that I'm very comfortable with my roster construction, especially given that it's only two receivers that are required to start, and it is the 0.25 point per carry. So the receiver threshold here is a lot lower. I don't need to have seven receivers that I'm comfortable playing. The devaluation of receivers here, because it's point per carry and because I only need to start two, I'm pretty comfortable kind of living in the four or five receiver range in terms of what I need. And everything else, I'm kind of fine with just filling running backs as they go. Now, the important things are here is I want to have access to be able to buy those points and take advantage of the fact that other people are still going to devalue the running back position a little bit more, even though the format would warrant that you shouldn't. Meaning that there's going to be the availability to buy some running backs, even if it costs a little more because of the point per carry. The advantage is they're going to be available when you need them, so you don't necessarily have to have them at all times before the season starts. If you have the assets to move, you're probably able to get deals done in a league like this because of the format, versus if it wasn't point per carry, you'd start to treat the running backs just like any other league, but so would the rest of the league. Meaning valuing receivers out the wazoo would be what everybody is going to do anyway, but it would be more optimal to do it in a format where it's three receivers and it's not point per carry. So looking at my roster, I mean, essentially the first thing I look at here is my receiver room. You know, receivers are probably what I'm going to be able to get in abundance because of the way this league is set up and the fact that I have two of the top four picks. I'm probably going to end up with a receiver there. And then I have a bunch of seconds and a bunch of thirds. And because of the class being so deep, I have to really kind of evaluate what do I want to do with those picks? Because it feels like there's going to be some good players available in this class. But I look at the war. And again, this is war based on PPR leagues. But I look at the war that is expected for basically all of the picks I have outside of the top four picks. I have the 102 and 104 again. But the war outside of all of those picks, it's negative. And then when I add into the fact that this is a heavy receiver class and this format leans against receivers, it's a triple whammy, right? Like what I would be seeking in this format wouldn't necessarily be receivers. What's going to be available in abundance in this class is going to be receivers. And then finally, the expected value of almost all those picks I have is extremely negative. In fact, if you go all the way down to the 211, you're talking about almost, I mean, if you just look at the 211, you're looking at negative 1.5 WAR or more for the first 2 years of a player's career. Now, that's what happens with a lot of teams that draft running backs in those spots. They're going to be backup running backs where you're waiting for a spot start or two or three or maybe a window of time where they play. Same if you drafted a quarterback. And that's going to be the most applicable in a format like this where I'm probably roster constructing very heavily around positional advantages, potentially at tight end. And then after I lock in my receivers, I probably don't want to stash too much at wide receiver above what I need. So you may think about this and go, well, you know, you need X amount of receivers here. I'm already sitting on Deontay Johnson, Jordan Addison, Jaden Reed. I have those three receivers already in tow. I'm probably going to end up with either Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison. And normally that may go against what you would want to draft here, but I'm okay taking one just because I'm truly drafting for a need, but I'm also leaning into the fact that those guys are probably still going to hold pretty high value, even though the format says receivers should be a little devalued. So it is a need, and it is one of the reasons I would say, you know what, I'm probably going to end up taking one of those guys just based on that need. So right there, I'm only at four receivers. Now, I look at my roster construction, and really my bench, I did mention that I have 14 players on the bench, and I have five empty roster spots. I've slowly cut some players and haven't added them back only because I know that I'm going to be adding a bunch of players in the draft. But looking at, like, for instance, my tight ends, I have Travis Kelce, I have Kyle Pitts, I have Colby Parkinson, and I have Pat Freiermuth. So I am violating one of my core tenet rules of roster construction, too many tight ends. So I'm going to find a way to try to package one of those tight ends or two of those tight ends to see if I can free up some roster space or give myself a little freedom from the picks. So probably what I'm going to do is in this league, I'm going to go take some of those picks and see if I can add one of those thirds to one of those tight ends like Pat Freiermuth and get a future second. Because I look at my picks next year, the one thing that I am missing is seconds next year. I have my first. I have four third round picks, which is perfect because that is exactly what I could buy spot start quarterbacks or running backs if I need them. But I don't have any seconds. So using this draft pick war, and using the fact that I am overexposed at tight end here in a 1.5 tight end premium, I'm probably going to go and be willing to take a little bit of a bath on a trade where I give up Pat Freiermuth and the 305 and try to get back a future second. With the goal being the second is probably better used in this format for something in the future, especially in a point per carry league where I know there's going to be a running back market that is going to be a little robust only because it's a premium, but also if a team falls out of it, they're going to covet those assets that I have right now, the luxury to go and shop for future picks and not really worry about what I need this year. This is not a roster where I go, you know what, I'm short on running backs. And I'll just share, my running back room looks like Ramondre Stevenson, Jamonte Williams, David Montgomery, Derrick Henry. And then on my bench, I have one extra running back with Eric Gray. The rest of my roster construction, honestly, is backup QBs. Like in this league, I'm holding a ton of backup QBs, nine backup QBs. So essentially, it's a QB laden bench, but I already have four running backs that I feel pretty comfortable about playing. So my lineup, for all intents and purposes, if you count Pitts and Travis Kelce as both flex worthy, probably is already set. So anything I'm drafting is luxury. So my goal is to take all of those picks and probably understand that I have to add something to a guy like Pat Freiermuth, Colby Parkinson. I have Colby Parkinson as a tight end that I picked up for free, and then Rashad Bateman as a roster clogger. And frankly, Rashad Bateman is a player that I would probably move to get one extra spot in the rookie draft. And it's simply because he's already an extreme roster clogger in this kind of format. But where I sit with picks and roster spots that are going to be available, I need to find a way to take that excess and shift it somehow to the future. So anybody in this league, because I know a lot of my league mates listen to this show, anybody in this league that sees a deal where they want one of those players, Rashad Bateman, Colby Parkinson, Pat Freiermuth, and they're willing to play ball with moving one of them plus one of the picks. I have the 305, 308, 309, 304. Yeah, I have a bunch of thirds, basically, that I'm willing to move with one of those players to move up or move into a future second round pick. So something to just kind of be said on a league where this is a start 10. So even though the draft pick war is negative, I also know that the format plus the players in this class, plus the fact that there's only going to be a lot of struggle on the clock with what to do with those picks once I'm there, it just feels like this is a league, and I know because I've been in this league since the inception of it, it is going to be better to move these picks before I have those issues being on the clock. This is the prime example of one of the leagues, probably I have about half a dozen of these, where I'm sitting flush with a collection of picks like this, and I know that the constraints of the roster size, the starter thresholds, etc., are not going to allow me to maximize the value of all those picks if I wait. If I wait till I'm on the clock and I have 20 drafts going on at one time, there is no way I'm going to be able to get the movement that I want. So this is one where I am going to be focused on sending out consolidation deals, specifically around Freiermuth, Parkinson, Rashad Bateman, literally trying to get anti-leverage. Give me a little extra value to move up or move out. And it fits perfectly with the draft pick war, where all of those picks are negative war, plus the format, plus the fact that a lot of the players that I'm going to be tempted to take based on the name are going to be the position that is devalued most in this league. So again, hopefully it helps with that format. And now I'm going to go to the complete opposite type of format. And for this one, we are going to look at a deeper best ball league. Now this league does have some Devy depletion in it. So there are some Devy players that are already rostered. So the rookie draft war is not going to be exact. You can probably bump everything down by about half a round to a round in terms of the actual value. But obviously when you have rookies that are depleting the draft because they were Devy players, so they're removed from the class, you also have Devy players that are allowed to replace them. So I wouldn't say the value is one for one, but there will be some teams that take some Devy players that make up for the fact that some of the rookies from this class are not available because they were previously owned to Devys. Now, this league specifically, so there's some nuances to this one as well. So this is a 12-teamer. The starters are 12. But the interesting thing is it is a 12-team start 12 best ball league, 32-man rosters. But it is a league where you only have to start one of every position except for you have to start two tight ends. So it's interesting. It's basically all open flexes, except for you have to start one quarterback, one running back, and one receiver, and then two tight ends, and the rest are flexes. And when looking at the exact scoring, you know, there's some nuances. It's 4 point per passing touchdown. The yardage is a little bit more. It's basically, it's 0.05 points for each yard. And then you look at interceptions is -2, but there's point per target. There's a little bit of a bonus for receiving yards. It is tiered PPR. So it is half point per catch for running backs. It is one PPR for receivers. And then for tight ends, it is two PPR. And they all get a point per target as well. Now, curiously, this is a league where you also get kickoff return yards. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of scoring to where that kickoff return yardage plus the fact that it is best ball and it is open in the flexes except for the two tight ends. It makes it to where you're looking at the draft picks, and the picks that I currently have are 108, 202, 208, 209. Those are going to be the four picks that I'm looking at. So effectively, I have four of the top 21 picks. But if I look at my roster construction, so it cuts down to 32-man rosters. And with this team, I'm already pretty set at quarterback. You know, the optimal in a format like this would probably be around the 4 to 5 quarterbacks that I talk about on the roster construction series. It's probably going to be 5, but you could probably get by with the 4 that I have because I do have Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa, and Russell Wilson. So maybe I go for a 5th, but I'm not worried about quarterback. I have zero incentive to really do anything at quarterback here. Tight ends, because it's start 2 tight ends, you do want to have as many tight ends as you can get your hands on. But because it's start 2 and it's 2 PPR, you really want to have a core of at least 3 or 4 that you know are going to be reliable. because it is the one position that has extreme scarcity, but also premium scoring. So not that receivers and running backs are devalued, but if you kind of think about those two positions, you can pretty much just start them interchangeably. You need to have enough quarterbacks to construct through, and then you need to have enough tight ends to construct through. So I look at this and I say the magic number is probably five quarterbacks. I'm sitting on four, and I'm not worried about a fifth because there's going to be a fifth I can probably pick up at some point on waivers. So I'm good at quarterback. Tight end, because it's two PPR and it's two tight ends, I can pretty much go hog wild at tight end and get as many as I can possibly get my hands on and feel comfortable with them as flexes just because of the scoring relative to the other positions. So in this one, for instance, if you run the war, and this is an MFL league, so you have to run the war. You're not going to be able to do it if you're following along, but I'll run the war on this league and just highlight, you know, what the analytics say in the flexes. And it's interesting because if you highlight on the My League analytics tab, when you run a league and you look at that tab specifically, you will notice that it will tell you basically what the flex rates are for each of the three positions. It'll tell you the same for Superflex, but a lot of times you see that the Superflex position basically has a number of how many teams are in it. You're going to want to have a quarterback in that Superflex in almost every scoring format. But for here, when you run the analytics on this specific league, and it's loading right now, but I just want to highlight that for everybody, because if you think about it, start two tight end, which means there's going to be lesser tight ends in the flexes simply because 24 of them across the league have to be in the lineup. So that's going to lower the flex rate a little bit, but you're going to give back some value to the flex rate for tight ends because you only have to start one receiver and you only have to start one running back. So when you go to the My League analytics, the replacement value at tight end here is actually comparable because it's two PPR. So yes, there's more tight ends that end up in the core positions because you have to start two, but the flex rate is elevated a little bit because of the fact that there are more that are scoring points because it is two PPR. So even here, you actually see some tight ends in the flexes. You see seven tight ends hitting the flexes here. And I know there's a ton of flexes, but you see seven in the flexes, even in a start two tight end week, which means every week you're going to have around 31 tight ends that are hitting lineups in this format. So if you just use that as the basic threshold, let's call it top 30. How many top 30 tight ends can I get my hand on? Right now, I have Jake Ferguson. I have Michael Mayer. I have Kyle Pitts. I have Dalton Schultz. And I can squint and I could tell you Jonnu Smith could be a top 30 tight end. So right there, I have five. And I'm going to be looking with these draft picks to see if I can find any others. So one of the things that I typically do is I go and I'll check the trade bait and I'll see if there's any tight ends that are available. Don't really see any, but probably what the next step that I would do is I would go through the rosters and see if there's anybody that's interested in moving a tight end that I think could be usable. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a great one, but this would be a league where if I could acquire somebody like an Isaiah Likely, if I could acquire somebody like Cade Otton, Chig Okonkwo, Mike Gesicki would be another awesome target. I'm going to go through and see if I can get a couple of those guys with the rookie picks that I'm sitting on. And I think it's just going to be because it's Devy depleted, I'm going to have to get the appetite of the manager with those picks. 108, 202, 208, 209. But that's a gap in a format like this where essentially, as long as I have enough players to get by at running back and receiver, the tight ends are just free money. Because the flex rate, you're going to want to flex tight ends anyway. And the fact that I have to start two, every time I can get another one of those that I think could be top 30-ish, I want to take the shot on just adding them to my team. Because it's essentially like a free flex in a best ball league. I'm not taking any risk by rostering that player versus a lot of the other options that are in flexes. And that's where in best ball, in a weird scoring format like this, where I only have to start one of the other positions, but two tight ends, it makes you really kind of think about, all right, there's a lot of tight ends that are absolutely not appealing. I mean, you can literally go through Keep Trade Cut and you can look at the tight ends that are outside of the top 20. And you're probably sitting there thinking, you're going to hear most analysts just say, man, those guys don't matter. They're trash. I would never want to start them. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the same shit you hear over and over and over out there. But I'm sitting here looking at the names like Isaiah Likely, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. I would love to have the Green Bay tight ends in a format like this. Most other formats, I'm terrified of having either one because they hold a little value. They don't represent a lot of trade value that I can move, but they also really don't guarantee me anything and I wouldn't know when to start them. So outside of a league like this, I wouldn't really ever prioritize those guys. I don't even really want them in a best ball league where I have both and the premium doesn't matter that much. But here, because the position is so valuable relative to the others, I'm probably going to go through and see, all right, is Jatavion Sanders a guy that I can trade up for? Is Noah Fant a guy I can buy? How about Hunter Henry, Juwan Johnson, Mike Gesicki? Like, I'm actually interested in going through and seeing how many of those guys I can get using these picks because my quarterbacks are strong. I have enough firepower, I would say, at wide receiver. You know, with guys like Josh Downs, Jerry Jeudy, Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk, Puka Nacua, Michael Pittman. Like, I can get by there, and I have three or four usable running backs, Derrick Henry, Chuba Hubbard, Kenneth Walker. Like, I have enough bodies to get by there. But, man, if I can kick a couple of those flex spots to tight ends that I would want already, big advantage. And the war will tell you that. If you run the war in this league, you will see the tight ends outpace their running backs by a massive degree. And they are neck and neck with the wide receivers at the very top. And that's simply because you only have to start one of those positions. The fact you only have to start one running back, it totally devalues not only the position, but it kills the war a little bit as well. Because you are essentially leaning right into the fact that the running backs are very much a have and have not position, and you're only having to start one. So once you get to the replacement level, they almost don't matter. You'll see the flex rate at running back be way down relative to what it would look like in a league where you had to start more receivers. But because you only have to start one receiver, with all those flexes, receivers just absolutely dominate the scoring. So something cool about this, totally different because it's deeper, it's best ball, and it has some quirky lineup settings. So next up for the third format we're going to look at, we're going to go back to a lineup league. And this time we're going to look at a 14-team super flex league. Now, this is a double copy league, 14-team, start 12, two copies. And it is a league where you can start defenses. And I'll give an example of a deal that we got done just recently. And when I say you can start defenses, defense is a required position. So I know people are probably going, wow, you're in a dynasty league that has team defenses. Trust me, I'm not for it. But this is a unique one where the defensive scoring matters. So it's actually something that you have to value. And here's the cool thing. So this is a lineup format, but if you look at just last year's scoring at defense, the Ravens led the league at 20 points per game. But all of the defenses in the top 21, so if you had a top 21 defense, heck, we can go down to the top 27 defenses. So all but five defenses scored at least 13 points per game or more. So let's just say most defenses are scoring between 13 and 20 points per game. And then when you look at the scoring for the other positions, it's not juiced up enough to make it so that those positions are well above the defenses. So for receivers, I mean, receivers are getting 1.25 PPR. So it's juiced up a little bit. Tight ends are getting 1.75 PPR, and it is start two tight end. So think about good premium, but also extreme scarcity at the tight end position. And then running backs are getting one PPR. And then it is super flex where quarterbacks get 6 points per passing touchdown. So the scoring is increased a little bit at the other positions, but here's a move that we made last week. We gave up two picks in the second round and a fourth round pick and got back essentially a running back body, which here still interested in collecting running back bodies, got Damian Pierce, but also got back the Detroit Lions defense. Now you may say, okay, well you traded for a defense. You gave up effectively the 203 and the 204 in a 14 team draft. Yes, we did. We were a team that tanked. We are good at quarterback, which is interesting. Normally you'd be searching for quarterbacks here, but we have Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, and Anthony Richardson. So we are as good as it can get in a 14-team super flex with, you know, bumped up quarterback scoring. So we're set there. We also had a ton of draft picks. We have a pretty depleted roster. We have a couple decent running backs, Pacheco, Jalen Warren, Rashad White, a couple decent receivers, Jordan Addison, Christian Kirk, and then one good tight end with Michael Mayer. But the key was we traded for a third defense. So again, it's 14 teams. And the thing about defenses is they average between 13 and 20 points per game, but they never expire. They never get hurt. They never fade away. They're always there. So we gave up two pretty valuable picks, but in the context of those picks, if you literally take those picks and you run the expected war, because I don't think this format changes too much with the war that I broke down, you're looking at the 203 and 204, and in a 12-teamer, you're looking at picks 205 and 206. And when we got that offer, we had been trying to make a deal where we got back a defense for this reason, because you can also flex a defense. So it is a start 12, but you can start up the two defenses. So I'm looking at it like we are buying essentially a pretty steady wide receiver two for those picks. And we also have a situation where we have a ton of picks. So right now, even after that trade where we gave up three of our draft picks, we are looking at a rookie draft where we have 16 picks, and there's no way we can make that many with the roster constraints. So we traded for a defense, but the key is you can flex a defense. And so people might see that deal and go, where? Okay, I would see that when I pulled trades, and you would see a defense trade. You go, okay, what league is that in? But here now we have the Lions, the Ravens, and the Falcons defense, and we're able to essentially interchange those and hopefully lock in at least 15 points a game from our defense and from our flex spot and have a backup in case we want to play matchups and have three assets that we know, even if one of those defenses goes to the very bottom. Like last year, the Falcons weren't a great defense. The Lions weren't a super great defense, but it didn't matter because you have that floor that doesn't expire. And so we're looking at this going, you know what? We traded negative war for those defenses or for that defense. And even though those picks on the surface may turn into players that have much higher ADV, the other thing to consider, and the reason I brought this league up with the defenses, is because we traded the negative war for an asset that doesn't come available much. Meaning, if you think about this, there's 14 teams and there's 32 defenses. We have three. So you remove us, there's 29 defenses for 13 teams. So do the math. Not very many teams can even get more than two. There's a couple teams that only have one. So the fact that they're even available, like this is truly a finite asset. Nothing else in Dynasty is a finite asset like a team defense is when they score like this. If they didn't score any points relative to the other positions, I wouldn't care. But here they are a finite asset that actually score points relative to like what a DK Metcalf will score. Like I look at Jordan Addison versus the defenses that we have, and the difference in terms of what they scored was not that much. In fact, our Baltimore defense last year, which was the best defense in the league, it scored 100 more points than Jordan Addison. And essentially we were able to buy those. So I think three is the sweet spot, but I think the lesson is that had I not run this draft pick war last week and I not had this data in front of me, I probably would have not parted with those types of picks for these defenses. But I wanted to bring this one to light because A, we were already set at quarterback. So even though we have some high picks, we have essentially the 103 and the 104 here. So 106 and 107, but with the two copies, it'll be the 103 and 104. So we're set at quarterback. We have some flexibility at the top of the draft. And the only reason I wouldn't have done those deals or wouldn't have done this deal was because I needed these picks maybe to move around the board and maybe not have to draft a quarterback if I could avoid it. Doesn't mean I won't. I probably will still draft a quarterback as that's what we are left. But I think the point being, if you needed those picks as the ability to move around the board increased, that would be the reason to hold on to them. But otherwise, using this draft pick war, those are negative war picks, especially in a deeper league like this. It's more realized than not when you have to set a deep lineup. That's one of the reasons I did this deal this week, was simply because I had this war data and was able to go, you know what? What we're trading away really isn't that valuable, but it's valuable to the team that happened to have four defenses and needed other stuff. They were happy to make the deal. So sometimes that's how deals get done, because what you need and what you're willing to give away matches up with the other team. But I wanted to highlight that I truly wouldn't have made this deal unless I ran this data and go, you know what? This is probably going to be one where I'm going to get positive war from those defenses. I'm going to realize that, especially because I know I can start two every week and that these are going to be three that are going to be stable over a long period of time. Versus the draft picks, they're already on the negative side. So I thought that was a cool one to sell, even though people are probably not in leagues where there's team defenses. The idea and the concept of why I did the deal was very prevalent using the draft pick war. And the last league, we are going to go back to maybe a little bit of a more traditional league. So this is back to MFL. It is a 12-team Superflex start 11. It is 30-man rosters. And the scoring is a little bit tricky. We do have 0.15 point per carry. And we have a tight end premium that is effectively like a 1.8, 1.75, 1.8. It is 1.5, but it also has essentially extra points for receiving yards. So basically, you get more points for the receiving yards, double the points you get for receiving yards than you would for a typical league. So I've calculated it out before. It's around 1.8 PPR for tight ends. Now, it is one of those leagues, again, where you only have to start one of every position. So it's start one quarterback, start one receiver, start one running back, start one tight end. And then you look at all the other positions can be flexes, and there is a super flex. So it's a start 11, and it's one of those teams where I have built up over time. I've had some fortunate luck to be able to be a contender, but also accumulate future value at the same time. So I do have a team that has set at quarterback, Kyler Murray, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. And then I'm stacked at receiver. So Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, those are my only tight ends. Probably should address that position, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But receivers, you know, even though it's a small point per carry, receivers still dominate, only because the scarcity at running back is extremely low. You only have to start one. So even though the flex rate for the running back versus receivers, if you go to the My League Analytics here and you look at the flex rates, there's still 24 running backs that are going to hit the flexes. So about a third of the time, running backs are hitting the flexes. About half the time, receivers are hitting the flexes. And about a sixth of the time, tight ends are hitting the flexes. And that's just because it's start one at the other positions. But the scoring for the three positions is very similar. The replacement value for them all are about the same. So with that, I lean into the fact when I see that, I would lean into the fact that I still want to roster the majority of receivers, because that is still what's going to be the bias in terms of people valuing receivers in Dynasty. So I have guys like Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk, Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson. So I have 9 receivers that I'm rostering. Everything else is backup QBs, backup running backs. But here's the caveat. So looking at this, this is another one of those where I'm holding the 104 and I'm holding the 106. Now, I do wonder what I would potentially want to attack first with this. I look at the war, and really what I probably should attack would be tight end at that 104 spot over another receiver. However, I also know that this league does value receivers higher. So I'm guessing I'm going to probably end up with the conundrum of what do I draft at 104, depending on what happens at 103. But the bigger thing is I have a bunch of later picks, 302, 304, a couple fourths, a fifth. And then if I look at my future picks, I still have a first for my own next year, a bunch of thirds, an extra second next year. So I kind of wonder if there's a move that I can make where, again, I'm already roster constructed about 90% of the way that I want to be, meaning what I'm going to have to be cutting to make these draft picks is backup QBs. And there's a couple that I can cut, but largely I'm going to have to be cutting the players that I want to stash because of how I would roster construct. I'm not going to roster construct around a ton of extra tight ends. I'm set at receiver. I've hit my threshold. In fact, I'm probably a little bit over, even though it's a start 11, because I can actually start up to 8 receivers here. I'm okay with the nine that I have. But otherwise, I'm really looking at, all right, I'm cutting from my excess quarterback and running back to make draft picks. And again, like I talked about earlier in the show, this isn't the class to lean into that roster construction. So I think I probably have to go through and try to shed some of these negative war picks, which I know here, it the ADV or artificial dynasty value isn't necessarily going to exist with some of these later picks either, because I'm probably not drafting really any running backs in this format that are going to hold any of that, because there's just not a good market for running backs here, given that it's only a start one. So I think it's going to come down to, I almost don't want to make a lot of these later picks for the sole reason that I'm already at my threshold at receiver. Probably the quarterbacks I'll be interested in drafting as backups will probably be close to gone when I get to my fourth round picks, because I don't pick until the 409 and there's a couple supplemental like consolation picks ahead of me. So I'm probably looking at picks where I'm really just adding stuff that I'm going to cut, but I'm also not going to really need to add them for my roster construction here. So those 302, 304 picks, I'm probably going to try to combine that with something that I can sell for a future pick and actually just move that to the future. Because this is an active enough league where I have enough assets where if I had to set my lineup tomorrow, it's good enough for me to set and be ready to roll. Now, whether I need some reinforcements during the season, maybe. But as of right now, I think it's one of those where I should explore a trade for a potential running back, because all I have is Alvin Kamara. Everybody else is just bodies. And then I only have Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz, but basically Travis Kelce. So can I address the running back in the draft? Probably not, unless they're just more bodies. So it's probably going to be one of the situations where I shop around and I try to see what I can shift around. And even though I'm holding the 104 and 106, it's not a draft where I probably want to trade back. I probably want to see what I can get for those picks now, regardless of the positive war expectation, and try to shift around the roster construction. So even though this one was less of a draft pick war example, I think it highlights a lot of my teams are already at their peak roster construction. They're close to constructed how I want. So when I go through, and I've mentioned this before on Dynasty Portfolio Weekly, that I have a ton of these leagues where I have a ton of seconds, a ton of thirds, a ton of fourths, and this is a great class to take shots. But what is the line you have to draw when you're already at close to what you want your roster construction to be, especially in lineup leagues? Most of my lineup leagues, my construction is developed almost all the way where I want it to be. So the thought of just taking shots with no regard to construction is still a little foreign to me. So I think I need to start figuring out which ones those are and deciding where I want to get out of those picks for exactly what I talked about last week. There's a lot of leagues where I don't want the 210. I'd rather have a future second. And that's simply because I'd be drafting to supplement my roster construction when really I'd rather just have that pick to use later on, especially if I look at it as an active league where I know if I have 3 seconds and 3/3, I can add those to stuff during the season and get deals done. And that's going to be the strategy moving forward with some of these picks. So I think that would be what I would implore everybody to do, especially if you're playing in some more traditional leagues, is go through and see where you have these mid to late seconds and beyond. See where you can really kick those picks to the future. See where you have some of these picks that kind of fall in the ambiguous range of the 109 through 112-ish range. Can I move those for future firsts? Can I move those for future firsts and something that helps my construction, a backup QB or a backup running back, or in best ball, a throw-in receiver or a throw-in tight end? So I think those are the deals that I really need to focus on doing. And hopefully this exercise helped of 4 real life formats that I'm going through, running the war, going through my construction, knowing and understanding where the leverage is based on the scoring, but then also understanding my league's market and expectations that I can have. And all of the leagues that I've talked about here are leagues that they are at least going into their third year or longer. So except for the one league that I mentioned where it was the best ball league, all the other leagues are at least 3 years or more. A couple of them are 5, 6 years. So I have a much better handle on how the economy and the market is going to work there. And I'll know kind of what I'll be able to get away with from a pick and from a league value perspective. So with that, follow along, sign up for Destination Debbie's War Machine. You can get it at destinationdebbie.com. Try it out. You can get the tool for 10 bucks a month, or you can join the Destination 5 tier on there where you get all access to everything, the tools, the Heisman membership in the Discord, the bonus content, etc. Before I sign off, I have to plug the draft stream again. Use promo code DDD, sign up on Underdog, use that promo code, sign up your friends, your family members, your coworkers, anybody that has not signed up. Literally, you enter before the day of the draft. So you got to enter by April 24th, and you have access to a ton of merchandise that you can win that'll be given away during the 3-day draft stream on Destination Debbie's YouTube page. So with that, I will go ahead and sign off for the week and beat you.